Hello, and welcome to the Hempville CBD Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cooey. I'm an entrepreneur in the cannabis industry with my business, Hempville CBD. This podcast is dedicated to educating you on CBD and how it can positively impact your life. Also, we'll feature professionals in the cannabis market and share their expertise in the marketplace. Join us on this enlightening journey that will enrich your appreciation of the dynamic cannabis marketplace. Follow us at hempvillecbd.com, and as always, there's an open invitation to come visit us at the store in South Haven, Mississippi. Now, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to the Hempville CBD Podcast. My name is Ben Cooey, owner and operator of the store Hempville CBD in South Haven, Mississippi, and also the website www.hempvillecbd.com. And across from me is the man that makes everything work, Derek Michaud. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So look at it, everyone that watches this show. It changed.
Yes, so the new studio.
It is. It's been a work in progress. And it was, as we discussed, this is the very first filming in the upgraded corner. Before, you would see the window behind us.
Oh, yeah.
Now we got rid of all the natural lighting.
Light coming in and everything else.
When I edit these episodes, I cringe. So, but it is what it is, everyone. A lesson to those podcasters out there. You know, just go. Keep doing and just keep upgrading. So thanks for being here, Ben, as always. And as always, I'm always here and excited to hear what you have to talk about.
Well, today we're going to talk about some of the scary things that I see on the market. And some of this is going to be a repeat of some of our information in some of our other podcasts. Some of it's new. But to kind of set this up, 2024 is a big year for the CBD THC market. I mean, big, big year. And one of the things that's going to make it so big is sometime this year, they're going to come out with the new 2024 Farm Bill, which is going to replace the old 2018 Farm Bill, which made all of this stuff legal and for shops like mine to exist. So we're very eager to see what that bill is going to come up with. Now, we've heard things don't know when it's going to come out because they keep pushing the date back. Two, we don't know what's going to be in it because we hear everything from they're going to make everything legal to they're going to restrict everything and everything in between.
It's all rumors at this point, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The one thing that's exciting me about it is the FDA, and we had said this earlier, the FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services have recommended to the DEA that cannabis be taken off or lose its Section 1 status and be moved to Section 3.
Is that a good thing?
That's huge for us, or at least I believe it's huge. And the reason why Section 1 means it's highly abusive drug and it has no medical value at all. Now, we know the science, as if you've listened to other podcasts on the studies that I've referenced, the science states the complete opposite. The science is this does have medical value and it has a very low abuse rate to where it's non-addictive. So moving it to that category, I feel one, gives us legitimacy. Two, it proves everything that I was told as a kid was pretty much a lie. But there are a lot of people on the sidelines that are like everybody else, like I was 4 years ago. Man, I've heard of these things, but I don't know much about them. I don't know how much I trust them because my knowledge isn't that good. And there's not a lot of knowledge out there unless you really look hard for it. The only knowledge most people get is from a friend that used to smoke weed and you're like,
and Hempville CBD podcast.
Yeah. And the Hempville CBD podcast. That's right. But most people who aren't listening to the Hempville CBD podcast,
they should be. Come on.
They should be. They know somebody that's probably been smoking weed their whole lives. And they're like, you know, I don't want to take medical advice from him.
Yeah.
Not he's a great guy.
Yeah.
But he's not a doctor. So when the FDA, if the DEA has full control of this, but the FDA has recommended it, if they can move it to Section 3 and back up everything that we know, hey, it has medical value and it's non-addictive, I think a lot of people off the sidelines will then start looking at this saying, this might be a better alternative than all the prescriptions. Because when you get to be my age, you know, your mid-50s, and this is one of the things that
man, got, you look really good for mid 50.
Well, thank you.
You're in way better shape than I am.
For a man that has nothing but daughters, I'm outnumbered completely at home. But when you get to be in your mid 50s, you're looking down a road of a lot of prescription medications later on down the road, simply because nature and time is going to take its course and it's just going to happen. Or how can I manage my life without going down that road? And that's what CBD and THC has done for me. And that's why I have the business and the podcast. And when you're staring down those two roads, the prescription road, that's it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The CBD THC road is a new avenue that has been there forever, but it has been blocked off. And now it's open. But, people want a map. They want to know where they're going. They don't want to walk in blindly. That's kind of what moving it to a section 3 is going to do for us, or at least that's what I think.
It truly legitimizes it.
Correct. And, for 40 years, it's been told, hey, this is highly addictive. It's bad for you. It's bad for you. It's bad for you. Well, it turns out it's not as bad as it's actually, mm-hmm. when you look at the alternatives, this is the number one thing that's good for you.
Yeah.
At the top of the list. And then the other things fall in behind it.
I mean, we're trying to unwind decades of, negative talk.
Correct.
About cannabis.
Correct.
So that's a big job to try to unwind that, but I think it's making strides, isn't it?
It is, and it's kind of like I talked to an old friend of mine last night, and they said, well, not that I was trying to convince them to do it. They just knew I had this shut the store that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, with my religion, we can't do anything like that. And I told her, I said, I get it. Mm. I get it. But you need to realize your religion, it's against caffeine, alcohol, but those things are all bad for you. And I understand why it's against, let's say, cannabis, CBD, THC. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, God gave us this plant. And at the same time, you and I both believe everything that we need is on this earth. We just got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I said, the difference is, I have a religion too, and I believe in God. But I think this is part of the piece of the puzzle of managing your life as you get older or even younger, but doing it all naturally versus prescriptions.
Mm.
I understand why her religion says you can't do it, but I think as we get older, or as this person gets older,
as generations start cycling up,
as news become more and more public,
yeah.
And like I said, I'm in my 50s, so I look at this person, I can see them at 65. Or 70, if they're still around going, hey, I might want to give this a try.
Yeah.
It just takes time,
mm-hmm.
Depending on your situation. Now, another thing, we're hoping they move it to a Schedule 3. And I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. I'm hoping the government, which is notorious for whatever it touches goes bad.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they provide some regulation. Right now, and that's that regulation is a problem either way. Mm-hmm. Meaning, government tends to overregulate, and that kills businesses. But anytime there's no regulation like there is now, because the FDA does not regulate CBD, it lists all these cannabinoids as supplements, and so therefore they don't regulate them, and therefore the market is a wild, wild west.
Yeah.
That's the reason for the podcast today, because I see so many bad things come through our store from other stores. And so I want them to provide some guide rails to where, hey, these cannabinoids are available. You have easy access to them, but we got to have some laws and regulations for what the wholesalers and the retailers are doing, because we're going to get into a lot of the bad stuff and you'll see why it needs to get out of the market.
Yeah.
And the only way this is going to get out of the market is through some type of regulation.
And we've gone deeper into that topic in some past episodes. So
yes.
I implore you all to go look through the archives. We go deeper into that. But this comes, and this idea stems from a recent experience, correct?
It does. Before I get there,
sure.
though, what I see in the market, because there's no regulation, is a lot of bad players. And what I mean by bad players is I see a lot of watered down products, mm-hmm. a lot of mislabeling of products, meaning what's on that label is not what's in the product. I also see a lot of counterfeit products where I've actually seen where a vape shop was selling the same product I was selling under my wholesale cost. Mm. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way that's happening. So I call my wholesaler and I tell him about it. I said, hey, how is this happening? And he got on his computer and he goes, you are the only person that buys our product within like a 40-mile radius of where you are. Mm. So he goes, there's nobody in our company that even services that customer or ships the product to him. So we did a little more digging. And what a lot of the vape shops do is they're buying from warehouses who have gotten this product dirt cheap because it's gotten old. And so they can sell it dirt cheap, and then the vape shop or gas station can get it and then sell it at a much lower price. But even at that, they would not be able to get under my wholesale cost. Mm-hmm. The way this guy was doing it was he had Xeroxed off, or he had a good printer, but he had printed off the labels that this product had on their product. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what he was doing, but he was sticking that label on let's say something he was making or maybe another product and selling it as the high grade company when really it was low grade stuff. I see that a lot.
That's awful. That's such bad business.
Well, this comes down, a lot of what this will come down to is you're in it for the money. Mm-hmm. And people will say, Hempfield's in it for the money. No, we're in it. Now we have to make money.
Mm-hmm. We have to exist.
We got to pay the bills and we got to grow. So yes, I'm in it to make money, but I'm not in it for the money. And the difference is a person like me who's in it to make money, I realize, hey, this is an opportunity. I got to make money to keep it going. But what got me into this business was not money. I got money. I bought a Domino's Pizza franchise one time for $1.
Wow.
And that's a whole completely separate story.
That sounds like good business there.
But I've owned a Domino's Pizza, which I purchased for $1. I owned a liquor store, which I purchased the whole liquor store for $2,500.
Dude.
It was a liquor store that...
more than that.
Yeah, I know. It was a liquor store that was on its last leg.
Yeah.
And so, and I could see the problems with it, and a part of it was capital. Mm-hmm. So I went in there and provided the capital and owned 50% of the business, and we built that up. And then I've had a successful landscaping business as well. So, I mean, I got the money. Yeah. I got into this simply because I wanted to help people, and I saw it as a better avenue for me. And if it's a better avenue for me, why am I going to, and I think it's helping me, why would I keep that a secret? I'd want to tell that to everybody.
I mean, you came in with great intentions, and, you know, it's almost like a life mission for you now. That's kind of how I feel about it. When getting to know you, you know, you really, really see the quality of this new cannabis world, Delta 8 THCA.
I do, but it's bigger than that. I think when you get older, I think when you're young, you're thinking through a smaller window about yourself and how are you going to survive.
Yeah.
I think when you get into your 50s and 60s, and it's not about financial survival, but when you're young, it's about financial survival. Mm-hmm. When you're older, it's just about, hey, quality of life, because things are falling apart on you because you're older. And if you can ever find something that can help with that, I mean, like I go to the gym every morning. I hate to see people walking around with hip replacements or terrible arthritis or stress beyond belief. These products help. And I think when you're older, you're like, look, when you see somebody like that, you're like, hey, I got something that works and I think this would be good for you. And you like to pass that information along. That's kind of what got me into the business.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with what you've heard me say over and over again. Do not buy your product at a gas station or vape shop. And I'm warning you about that because I know how that business works. That doesn't mean the owners are bad people. I know a lot of gas station vape shop owners that are awesome people, family people.
It's more about business.
But it's more about business. And here's why. Their business One, most of those people are not users of the product.
Right.
All right. Either because of their religion or lifestyle.
They're just trying to fill up a shelf.
Correct. The other is, if you're not using the product, you're not knowledgeable about the product. None of those people, none of them went to go study the product, take courses, pay thousands of dollars to take these courses and do that. Now, I didn't go to a college. I went to college and got a degree, but colleges didn't offer studies on this. I went to a separate school online. It was an online school, but the people who were doing the training were all PhD doctors or physicians mm-hmm. who work in the medical cannabis field. So I'm getting a higher level of education, even though I'm not in a technical university. Mm-hmm. So you got owners of the store that don't use the product. They're not knowledgeable on the product and they don't vet the companies or the products that they bring in. And that brings me to what happened to my store this past week. And this is what's dangerous out there. The first question, you know, we've had stories about the guys in the trucks. In 2019, people in trucks, farmers were driving around the shops like mine trying to sell bud. Mm-hmm. Vape shops, gas stations bought it. Shops like me did not. The reason why, I don't know where that bud's coming from. I don't know if it's been tested. I don't know how you grew it, where you grew it, what pesticides you used on it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. They were just coming in. Everybody has the same sales pitch. I got the best bud in the world. We can't keep it in stock, blah, blah, blah. Well, if that's true, why are you driving around in your truck trying to sell it to me? but I know what's happened. These are farmers. They mean well. They've grown bud, but in 2019, when all this kind of became legal, everybody jumped in the market thinking they're going to make $1 million. Nobody had a business plan. And so now they're stuck with a bunch of stuff they've grown and they mm-hmm. can't unload it.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't want it in my shop is because I didn't have any information on it. I don't want to pass that on to my customer. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to make money, but I'm not in it for the money. When you're a vape shop gas station, you're like, yeah, we'll bring it in. That's lower than all the other things I've seen as far as cost. I can make good margin on it. Bring it in. They're not, like I said, they're not using it. They're not vetting that company, and they are not knowledgeable about the product. That's a dangerous combination. The other story that we've talked about was also in right at the end of 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. People were coming into my shop going, you know, I bought some CBD at a gas station or a vape shop. And we had this complaint a lot. And the people were like, it was making my heart race. It was making me shake uncontrollably a little bit. I really didn't like it. It's like I got the jitters really bad. Well, that right, CBD does not do that. That's a clear sign that whatever you took that said CBD on the label had something else in it. And after a couple of months, after we started getting complaint over complaint, the law enforcement came in to the gas stations and whatever that product was, they made them take it all down. Because I think it was mixed with something like, it was either mixed with spice or it was mixed with something like spice. And that is not CBD. That is CBD mixed with something that's going to harm you. And then, of course, I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the father in New Jersey who went into a gas station and bought what he thought was an energy shot called Neptune's Elixir. Mm-hmm. And then like 15 minutes later, as he's driving his little girl to school, he basically has a heart attack or something like a heart attack in the car, and he can't get out of the car, and the ambulance had to come get him. And it turns out Neptune's Elixir had a drug in it that was very similar to heroin, highly addictive, and he was having an adverse effect to it.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, but you got to ask yourself, yeah. Like every other customer that hears these stories, how do these products get on the shelf? How are they available for consumption and sale to the general public? I'll tell you exactly how, because it happened to us. Last week, when I wasn't in the store, usually I get 20 sales reps call me, email me per week. Rarely do they come by the store. Usually when they come by the store, door-to-door salesperson, that's usually a red flag. Not meaning those are bad people. It usually means it's a smaller company And so that's why they're having to have somebody do it door to door.
Right.
She comes in. I'm not there. She asks if we sell Kratom. And my manager says, no, we don't sell Kratom. She goes, well, we got this new Kratom product and we want to put it on your shelves. And she had a nice display, full of product. And she goes, yeah, let me just put it on the shelf and take a picture of it. And when you run out, just call me and we'll give you some more. This is $700 worth of product that I'm giving you for free so that you can sell and do that. That happens. What happened in my store happens in gas stations and vape shops every single day. My manager calls me and says, hey, he tells me what happens. And I said, look, and he goes, look, the only reason I let her put it up is I didn't want to argue with her in front of customers. So I kind of let her do her thing because she wasn't listening to me. She was pushy. I told her we don't want to sell Kratom, but she still insisted. So instead of fighting as other customers come in the door, I said, hey, just set it up, take your picture. And, we'll deal with it later. And I said, take it all down. Put it in the back. Take it all down.
Were you happy with that decision, though?
No, I wasn't. And I emailed her back, politely said, look, we don't sell Kratom or nicotine products because they're addictive. And so we stay away from things like that. And you feel free to come by and pick it up. I get you're trying to make a living, but this product is just not for us.
Yeah, doesn't fit. It's just not your place. It's correct. Not what you offer.
What I wanted to, that's the professional version of me.
Yeah.
Really what I'm thinking is, one, this is my store. I decide what products get put on that shelf and what products don't.
Sure.
In no way will a sales rep decide what products my store carries because it's my store, not your store. I'm responsible for what I'm selling to the customers, not you. But here's where it gets scarier. And this is why you have to avoid gas stations and vape shops because most of them, if somebody, a sales rep's going to come in and give you $700 worth of free product and a nice display, you're thinking, hey, I got no skin in the game. If the stuff sells, of course I'm going to reorder it because my customers want it. But if it doesn't sell, I'm not losing any money. So I'm basically getting my first order free and they just do it. They have no knowledge of it. The reason I took it off the shelf, other than, you can say it's ego, it's my store, I get to decide what's in there. But it's also, I've never heard of your company. Mm-hmm. I've not had time to vet your company. We don't sell Kratom because it's a product. You know, some people say, oh, it's great. Some people say, oh, it's addictive. It's terrible. It does a lot of damage. All I know, I don't study Kratom, but I do know when law enforcement comes in to communities and requires that the retailers of the community take it off their shelf because it's deemed that harmful to the community. I don't want that attention on me. I don't want to do that to my community or my customers. So we just stay away from it.
I don't look at that as ego at all. That's not ego.
That's just being a smart business person.
Business person, but caring for your customers.
Correct.
Making sure that they walk in, they can trust everything that's on your walls.
Well, it's back to it's knowing the game. It's knowing your business and what you're selling.
Right.
And like I said, started off with gas station and vape shops. They don't use the product. They're not knowledgeable about the product or the marketplace, and they don't vet those companies. And you can run into trouble because there are a lot of bad players in an unregulated market. And some of the gas station vape shop owners, I don't know if they understand that. Mm-hmm. With me, like I said, I've never heard of your company. I've not had time to vet your company. We don't sell that product anyway, and we don't want to sell it. I have no earthly idea what's in it. And I hadn't had a chance to do any research, and now it's you decided as a sales rep to put that on my counter and maybe have a customer buy it just because it's free to me?
Yeah.
No. So that's why when I say stay away from gas stations and vape shops, that is that type of sales, how products get on the shelves, that's what you need to stay away from.
And when you told the story, I heard a trigger word in there.
What's that?
Or a moment where it really showed a lot of confidence from this person because she said, when you sell out,
correct,
let me know. And that's a lot of confidence.
Well,
but it's hot air.
Well, no, not she knows what she's talking about.
Well, she's probably right, but she's doing that. She's saying those words for a reason.
If it's one, it's a sales pitch. When you sell out, so you're thinking, oh, I'm going to make money on this.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if it's an addictive drug, she knows I'm going to sell out because she knows whoever buys it is going to come back
and repeat.
Yeah. Just like that Neptune elixir where the drug that was in it was highly addictive hey, you put it on the shelf. It's just a matter of time. Eventually enough people are going to buy it and then they're going to come in and have to buy again because now they're starting to get addicted. But while they're getting addicted, they're going to tell some more of their friends and they're going to come back in. Mm-hmm. And by the time they find out it's horrible and it's causing great pain to them, it's too late. They've been using it for way too long.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous road to go down, but that is out there in our market on an everyday basis. And that's what I'm trying to warn people of.
Now, and we appreciate it, Ben.
Well, thank you. And I would make the same mistake as a buyer if I was not in this business studying these things. I would do the same, make the same mistake because as a buyer, you just understand the consumer side of things. You don't necessarily understand the retail side of it. And so you naturally think, well, if it's in the store and they're selling it, it must be safe. And a lot of the times it's not. Now, another thing we want to get into is we'll talk about the two top product segments that is sold. One is flower and bud. The other is edibles. Edibles is probably number one. So let's get into edibles since so many people eat edibles. And I'll tell you about, I call this lady the Red Dragon Lady because she happened to have, she came in, she had bought a package of CBD gummies from another shop. But her packaging had all the red flags. Like usually you see one or two red flags on something. This had every single one of them.
It's like a football game with crooked refs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you want to do when you're buying an edible is, one, your packaging should at least have an ingredient list of what that gummy or edible is made out of. All right? It should also have a milligram dosage on it of either how many milligrams are in the whole package or how many milligrams per gummy or both. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll try to fool you and say a 10,000 or let's say 1,000 milligram gummy. It's not 1,000 milligrams. What they're really talking about is, well, we got 20 gummies in here, so you're getting... 20 will go into 1,000. Right. How many times 50? So you're getting 50 milligrams per gummy, but you're not thinking that. You're thinking, damn, I'm getting 1,000 milligrams per gummy. No one wants that.
And 1,000 milligram gummy?
I've had people come in.
Whoa.
And they'll bring in a big jar of gummies and they'll say 20,000 milligrams. And they'll be like, you got anything that's this potent? And I'm like, no, but I got to ask you one question. Why would you need something that potent? And they're like, well, this is 20,000. This is great. I'm like, no. Each gummy is not 20,000. You probably got 100 gummies in there. So you're getting whatever that mathematically comes out to.
They're multiplying it.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
So you got to have, like I said, look for an ingredient list of what that gummy's made out of. You should have a milligram dosage on there as well. In the ingredient list, you would look for, is it made of hemp extract? Or hemp seed oil. Now that's huge.
Yes, I remember this from a previous episode, and that's so fascinating because I get it. You know, back in the day, we used to try to smoke seeds. Yeah. It was awful.
Well, people don't understand the difference, and the difference is hemp extract is where they have actually grown the plant and withdrawn the cannabinoids out of the bud and the stem, and they've made a product with it. Mm-hmm. Hemp seed oil is when they've taken the seed of the plant, they've ground it down into an oil, and then they inject that oil into a product. And people say, well, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. They can put CBD on the label with a hemp seed oil makeup because there is small amounts of CBD in that oil or that seed. Mm-hmm. But there's not enough to really do you any good. That is why generally if you see a product that normally sells for, because we have this all the time, how come you sell CBD oil for $45 a bottle? And at Walmart, they're selling it for $25. Guarantee you, the one, and I know this for a fact, the one at Walmart is made of hemp seed oil. there's a reason why it's $25. And there's a reason why you're in my shop telling me you bought this at Walmart and it doesn't work and you want to know why.
Sure.
I just got to look at the ingredient list and that tells me all I need to know. Mm-hmm. But also in this business, I see a lot of things that are overpriced and a lot of things that are underpriced. And you kind of get what you pay for, but you kind of want to hit right there in the middle. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be too high and you don't want to be too low. You want to be able to justify a fair price. But to a consumer, they're going to think I'm jipping them by $20 by selling it for $45 versus $25 at Walmart. Well, the product makeup is completely different. Mine is legit. Yours is basically make-believe and marketing. Yeah, you might have 2 or 3 milligrams of CBD, but it's not going to help you. That's why you're coming in here saying it doesn't work.
They give you enough to make it. Okay, yeah, it's CBD.
Correct.
And they can honestly say, yeah, this is CBD, but it's the lowest grade you could ever find.
And all of these things affect the price, too. The hemp oil versus seed oil affect price. Also, broad spectrum versus full spectrum affects the price. And people who don't know the difference between the two, it's kind of like this. Broad spectrum would be like me fighting you with one finger. I could do a little damage, but I'm not going to do much. Just enough to make you maybe feel a little bit. Broad spectrum CBD is just CBD only. There's no other cannabinoids in there. Mm-hmm. Full spectrum is like adding multiple cannabinoids in there. CBG, CBN, CBC, maybe Delta 9 THC or Delta 8 THC, anything to put in there, THCA. So as you have broad spectrum, one cannabinoid CBD, broad spectrum, I can start adding those different cannabinoids, which will cause an entourage effect. You're going to get a much stronger effect out of it because there are more cannabinoids feeding off each other. And it's kind of like making a fist. I'm not going to do much damage with one finger, but if I can use all my other fingers, they can form together and make a fist, which offers a powerful punch. Mm-hmm. The same way multiple cannabinoids working together in a full spectrum product will offer a much better effect, more powerful effect than a broad spectrum. This also affects price. So when you're looking at price and you see something super cheap, you got to start looking for these things to see why it's super cheap. Another one would be QSR code on the back. A QSR code is generally there on the back of every product. Because you can take your phone and scan it. It'll pull up the COA, Certificate of Analysis, saying that this product has been tested. And here are the results of that test. And you want to make sure the results match up with the labeling on there. There was a study done back in, I want to say, 2019, where they said like more than 70% of the items online were mislabeled. That's a high percentage. Mm-hmm. But part of the reason for that is, unlike my store, which is a brick and mortar, and then we have an online store as well, it's easy to find me. A lot of these online stores a lot of them popped up during COVID when people were sitting at home. There's no brick and mortar. They just created a website. They're shipping in product from a wholesaler. They're selling it out of their house.
It's drop shipping.
Correct. It's drop shipping. And when something goes wrong or something bad happens, man, they can cut that off, develop a new website, and within 2 or 3 days, be back up and running under a different name doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So you want to look for that QSR code to make sure what's labeled on that product is actually in the product. And then the last thing is research the brand that you're buying. I can't tell you how many people come in and say, yeah, I bought some CBDs last week at a different store and I wanted to try yours. Do you have anything that's like that? And we're like, sure. What were you buying? I don't know. What milligram dose? I don't know. What? How much did it cost? I forgot. All of those are things that are going to tell me kind of what he might have had. Mm-hmm. But you got to research the brand that you're consuming. How long have they been in business? Do they have professionals making their product or is Joe Blow making the product? If they don't have a track record, look at the reviews to see the reviews. Because if they don't have any of that, I would buyer beware, I'd stay away from it. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
Because we, with the Red Dragon lady, as I cover all those talking points, her package came in and she asked if we carried this brand. And all I remember on the brand is it said CBD gummies and it had a big red dragon on it. And I looked at her and I said, no.
It must be good.
It must be good. And I told her, no, we don't carry that brand. But I see a lot of red flags with what you're showing me. And she goes, how so? And I said, well, one, just because it has a red dragon breathing fire out of its mouth tells me more than likely a professional like a doctor, pharmacist, or PhD chemist did not formulate this product. Mm-hmm. Two, there's no milligram dose. It just says CBD gummies. So how many milligrams are you getting per gummy? You have no clue. You don't even know if you're getting any. Mm-hmm. The scariest thing was flip it over on the back. There's no QSR code to show that it's been tested. There was not even an ingredient list of what the gummies were made of. You have no idea what these things were made of, and you're putting them in your body. You don't know if it has CBD in it. You don't know if it does have CBD. You don't know the milligram dose. You don't know who formulated it because there's no company name on this package. You know nothing about it other than it costs you maybe $20 or $25 at the vape shop. That is just buyer neglect, customer neglect. It's also the business owner's neglect. And that's what you get in a lot of these shops because they don't know the business. They allow that product to stay on their shelves because they don't know any better.
This is a great topic because going back to what I said earlier about unwinding generations and, and decades of the thought process on this industry. Well, I'll speak for myself on this. When I go do groceries, I don't look at the ingredients ever.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot
of people
health,
don't.
I know there's a lot of health people out there for sure that do, and I get it. And I'm not saying that we are all that dumb, but I am.
I'm just kidding. No,
but you know what I'm saying? So you're just trained like, oh, okay, great, cool, price. You know, that's how I buy my food, you know, the generic or whatever. And I don't look at that. So if I was to, without knowing you, wanted to try some CBD or whatever, and I saw the dragon, I would have bought it. Just look at CBD.
It looks fun.
You know, I wouldn't have known what to look for.
And that's the point of the podcast is the educational part is like me, before I got into this business, I would have heard of these things. I would have said, nah, I might try it now that it's legal. I'll go ahead and try it. I would have no idea how to shop as a consumer because my whole life I've been told stay away. You know, don't learn anything about it. Stay away from this. It's bad. Mm-hmm. So as a consumer, I'm walking in completely blind, not knowing anything, not even knowing what to look for. And that's how we train our staff because we knew 90-something percent of our customers are walking in the door like that. So that's why it takes 2 to 3, maybe 4 months of training in my store before I let you loose on your own. Simply because that educational curve is long and it's curvy. And
I mean,
it's a big old curve.
Yeah.
You have to be able to in a small amount of time, be able to shorten that curve for the customer, give them the information they need, the correct information, and not just sell them a product. You're selling them a product, but you're protecting them because you're asking them, hey, do you take high blood pressure medication? Do you do this? Do you do that? Because all of those will affect the effect of the product. And for those of you that don't know that are listening going, I take blood pressure medication. What's the problem? It's simply this. CBD and blood pressure cause the heart rate to drop. They both do the same job because they're calming you down. Do not take them at the same time. If they metabolize the same time in your body, the CBD could cause your heart rate to drop too low and you'll feel like passing out. What we always advise people to do is take your blood pressure medication first, wait at least an hour before you take your CBD. Granted, they're both in your body at the same time, but they did metabolize at the same time. So you're not going to have that bottoming out effect. But that is the difference. You know, that's an example of a difference between somebody behind the counter that knows what they're doing and knows their product and knows their business and that person at the gas station or vape shop that's like, here, take this. It'll lower your blood pressure, relax you, make you feel good. And they don't get into the other side, the dangerous part of maybe what you might be doing.
Well, prescription medicine, you know, they'll sometimes advise, hey, you're on these different meds, spread them out. Take this in the morning, take this at night. Because you know, so that's not new. It's okay for them to do that and say that.
But, right.
You know, so I say that because I'm afraid people might hear that and be like, oh, well, that makes it sound dangerous. No. It's just using it smart. Just like a doctor would tell you, heart medicine in the morning. I'm just making this up. Heart medicine in the morning, cholesterol at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that's, you know, a good piece of advice.
It's like anything else. The product is not dangerous. But if you don't know how to use the product, you could misuse it in a way unknowingly that could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Friends, I'll give you a good example. Have I ever had a glass of alcohol? Yes. Have I ever had a Red Bull? Yes. I'm stopping both.
I used to mix,
but
alcohol and Red Bull.
I go to restaurants and they have bars in them, and I see people get like alcohol mixed with Red Bull, and I'm thinking, why mm-hmm. would anybody do that?
Well, I can answer that.
And please tell me.
So, have you ever heard of the drink or a shot called Jaeger Bomb?
Yes. Never had one, but I've heard of it.
Jägermeister and Red Bull. When you're 22 years old and full of piss and vinegar, it's like liquid crack. It makes, you know, you get a buzz and you're starting to feel a drunkenness, but man, it just makes you want to party because of what's in Jaeger already has that effect. And then you add Red Bull to it. Dude, oh. it was the party drink in my 20s.
Now you make me want to go try one, which I'm not going to do.
Dude, but do you like black licorice?
No.
Then you won't like Jägermeister.
Okay. Because to me, it looks like you got a downer, the alcohol, mm-hmm. and then you got an upper, the caffeine.
Yes.
And they're pulling your body two different directions. I don't want to go that way.
I don't know the science of Jägermeister, but it's known.
The science of Jägermeister.
I don't read the label.
Ben. Right.
But there's an effect from that particular liquor that does amp you up already.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than a whiskey or a vodka. So you're amped
up and feeling good at the same time. Yes. I mean, that's great.
And then you add fuel to the fire with the Red Bull.
The other thing I would think when I'd see people order this is there's just no way that can be good for your body. I mean, it might feel good.
I was so healthy then. I woke up in the morning, would go jogging. It was never bothered me. Not.
No, I would think you'd feel like crap. Oh,
God. And of course, you're in your 20s and you're binging and just being irresponsible. So that's a whole other story. But yeah, that's a Jaeger bomb.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad I missed that while I was in college. Now, we've talked about edibles. We've talked about gas stations and vapes. And probably the next most popular thing is bud and flower. Mm-hmm. And bud and flower is real easy, but it can be tricky. What I see the most and what I hear customers talk about is, yeah, I went to this place and man, they brought out this big 1 gallon jar of bud. I mean, it was huge and they weighed it out for me and everything. And they put it in a jar and gave it to me. So I know it's good. Just because they weighed it out and gave it to you doesn't mean it's good. What happens is it's kind of like a little bit of deception. How many people have seen a huge jar of bud? Not many. So when you pull that out and say, I'm going to give you some of this and put it in this jar, you're focused on that big jar of bud and you're looking at going, mm-hmm. ooh, this looks good. Also, mm-hmm. when all this stuff became legal, most people weren't too eager to learn about it. They just wanted to get it.
They see the quantity and they equate that with the quality.
Correct. And like I said, they're eager to get it because it's not been legal for years. Mm-hmm. They're going to worry about how to shop for it later mm-hmm. yeah, after they buy it. So when they bring that jar out, it's kind of like a little deception. It's a distraction. When that happens, there's no strain written on the jar, you know, no name written on the jar. What are you buying? Are you buying a sativa, a hybrid, an indica? Because mm-hmm. depending on what time of day it is and depending on what your needs are, all of them do different things.
That's important for me. I mean, I've said before, I'm a user of the THCA Delta 8 cannabis products. And we were actually talking about it before the show.
Yeah.
You know, I have one that, you know, is more energetic, if you will. And then I have a nightcap.
You have one that kind of gets you ready for sleep. Yeah. And then you got one to where, hey, it's going to open up that mind and let you be creative and do things you wouldn't normally do mm-hmm. or think of when you're working. But you would need to know what family is it coming from. You'd also need to know the name. You know, is it Top Gun? Is it Future Haze, Pineapple Breeze, Oreo Blizzard? The reason why you would need to know the name is you can get online and Google the name and what strain it is, and Google's going to tell you, hey, this is a hybrid bud, or this is a sativa bud mixed with this bud and this bud, because a lot of these buds, the way they get these different names is they're crossbreeding different strains of bud. And so you get the crossbreed information in there too, and that's important. Mm-hmm. So you should get at least a label with a name and a strain on it at a bare minimum. But with flower, you also need a dosage amount as well, but it's different in bud and flower than it is in edibles. In edibles and tinctures, they do it on a milligram basis. With flower and bud, they do it on a percentage basis. So you should have a percentage of what cannabinoid is in there. Like if you're buying CBD or if you're buying THC or THCA, you should have a percentage of that cannabinoid in that bud. If you don't, then you have no idea. Not only do you not know the name or strain that you're buying, you have no idea how potent it is. And potency is important too, because too low, it's not going to do anything. And sometimes the high numbers will get you in trouble. And I'll give you an example. We sell, this is what I see on the market today. I like to sell stuff in between, let's say 35% to 40, maybe 45% THCA. That seems to be the sweet spot that we've seen for our customers. There is some that is higher, stuff that's been coated with keef and stuff like that. But as you get higher up, let's say 70%, 80%, 90%, that's really not bud anymore. That's a completely different product, because natural bud doesn't have anything close to that percentage in it. So you've now manipulated something that's natural and made it super, 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 super strong. Well, it's like anything else. Too much of a good thing eventually becomes a bad thing very quickly. So you don't want to go necessarily for the highest amount, but what I see on the market and why there are not labels out there and why there's not percentages and strain names out there is what a lot of these people are doing. If they're not buying, I don't think the people in the trucks with their bud, I'm sure they still drive around, but not nearly as much, because I hadn't seen one in a couple of years. What they're doing is they're buying, their wholesale cost on that bud is probably around $1,200 a pound. And for those of you who don't know, that's super duper low. I'm paying anywhere from the quality of bud that I get, and I hear it from all my other wholesale, oh, you're overpaying. Oh, this is bad. No. I'm paying anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000 a pound, two and a half to three times more than my competition. I'm selling it for the same price, about $35 an eighth. Some people are a little higher, some people are a little lower. But the quality within that range, I beat everybody. But what they're doing is buying $1,200 a pound flower. The percentage of THCA or CBD in it is going to be low. It's going to be somewhere in the teens, like 18, 19, or maybe somewhere in the mid 20s at 25. I have a ton of people say, we got the best THCA flower. We got the best flower. It flies off the shelf. What percentage is it? It's 27% is our highest. 27% is our highest. I'm like, man, you're not even scratching the surface to where I am. What are you getting? I said, we sell right at around in between, let's say 35 to 40%. No way. And I'm like, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I'm like, yes. And we got the COAs to back it up as well. And I don't tell them the farm that we're getting it, but I at least tell them kind of the region of the country that we're getting it from, which is California and Oregon. And these are people that have been growing for generations, unlike people that have grown in, let's say, locally, they've been doing it for a year, maybe a year and a half. So they're not that experienced. They're buying low-grade stuff, putting it on the shelf, selling it for a high-grade price or what the market will bear. You're getting a little buzzed off of it, and you're thinking it's good until you walk into my shop. When you walk into my shop, you see professional labels.
Yeah.
You see not only the name, Oreo Blizzard or Future Haze, you're seeing the family that it's from, Sativa Indica Hybrid. It has a percentage of what percentage of THCA or CBDs within that bud. And you know, there are other things to look at other than percentage and the labeling. I mean, if you're experienced in it, you want to look at the bud size. You want to look at, you can't touch it, but you want it to be sticky, but it can't be too sticky because then it's not going to grind up. It's just going to turn into mush.
Good
but
point.
You don't want it to be dry because if it's dry, it's probably old and it's just going to fall apart on you. Mm-hmm. It has to have just a little stick to it. It should have a strong smell to it. If it's in glass jars, it's better than plastic because glass preserves it a little bit better.
That's interesting. I would have never thought of that.
I didn't think of it either because in the beginning we had it in plastic and it would get dry really quick and then I learned, hey, glass jars tend to preserve it a lot better.
Yeah.
And so it was more expensive to move the glass jars, but we were able to do that without raising our price, simply because it's all about quality.
Yeah.
You know, you can take a hit on the margin that you got on a product as long as you're increasing the quality of it, because if you increase that quality and give it enough time, customers are going to notice. And then you'll end up, in the short run, it might hurt you a little bit margin-wise. In the long run, you'll end up selling more of it, and it's going to help you because you're putting out, customers are going to see. One of the reasons we're open on New Year's Day and some of the holidays that most people are closed for is because I know my competition's closed and I'll go work that shift. I won't make one of my employees will do it. I'll go work it so they can have time off with their family. But it's great marketing for me because I know my competition's closed. Their customers are going to be out looking for product. So they're going to be forced to come to me just to get them in the store. And every single time they walk in the store and they go like, oh my gosh, this is completely different than what I'm used to. And I'll ask them, what are you used to? And they're like, you got labels, you got percentages, y'all know your stuff. It all looks beautiful and it's cheaper than what I'm buying. And it's kind of like what you said before I met you, you were buying some baits from a local shop. And then when we met, we started to do the podcast. I sampled you some of the vapes that we've got. And you said, you know, it's night and day. The stuff you're giving me makes the old stuff I was buying look like toys from a cereal box.
Yeah, there's the hardware aspect too. Like actual vape, the hardware itself was better. And I realized, I was vaping out of a toy.
Yeah, and most of the hardware is coming from China. Sadly enough, it's coming from China. But you also want to make sure that if it's coming from China, the hardware is probably going to break on you. What's really important is where is the cannabinoid coming from?
Yeah,
it should be coming from a U.S. grower. Some people are to try to get stuff cheaper. They're getting it either in Europe or they're getting it from other places. That's scary because you see what China's doing with the fentanyl. They're making the fentanyl in China, giving it to Mexico. It's coming across our border. It's killing people. You don't think they'd do the same thing with THC and hemp oil and stuff like that? Sure,
yeah.
They would.
Yeah.
If there's money for it, and there is money, a market for it. So yeah, sure, they would do that. So you want to make sure what's in that vape pen or what's in that gummy, it's coming from America. And it's grown by an American farmer. That way, if you ever have a problem with it, you can trace it back. If it's coming from another country, you're going to have trouble tracing it back. And that's what the QSR code and the COAs, that's how it's all connected together. And that's what you need to look for as a consumer. And if you don't know that, the person behind the counter should be able to recognize that you don't know it and help you with it if there's an issue. That's why we buy our products from American companies. A lot of them are veteran owned. Most of them, if not all of them, have professionals on staff, like a doctor, pharmacist, PhD chemist formulating the product. Of course, with the bud, you don't have that. You're not going to get a doctor out there growing bud. With the bud, you're looking for experience.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it? What's your process? How do you grow it? If they have a long track record, that's usually a good sign because they've been in business for a long time. If they've only been in business for a year or two, they're just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we'll end it today. I hope in conclusion, you know, I hope all the listeners out there, I either said something that is going to help you as a shopper or consumer out there on the market, or that at least you learned a little something today that's going to make you a better shopper. Please, if you're on YouTube watching our videos, like and subscribe. That is what keeps us going on social media. It's such a simple thing to do, but it's so important to us because that's like gold in social media world.
And thanks to those who have subscribed because we have noticed a growth. We appreciate you. We're putting out a lot of shorts that get a lot of views. So you're there for us. Thank you. Keep it going.
Correct. We've shown growth every single week, and it's been good growth. So yes, thank you for all those people that are out there. Also, for those people that do listen to the show, we do have a special. If you decide, hey, you want to check my website out or look at some products, you go to www.hempvillecbd.com. We do have a coupon code for you just for being a listener to the show. The coupon code is HV is in Victor, P is in Pony, HVP, better yet, but how about Hempville Podcast? That's what it means. HVP20.
Nice.
The 20 is for 20% off. You just put HVP20 in the coupon code box. It'll knock 20% off your order. That's not a one-time use. That's a coupon code simply for being a listener or a subscriber. You can use it every single time you order because we're trying to build a community here. But we're also trying to provide the best product at the best price as well. People always ask me, how come you don't have a rewards program? Usually a rewards program works with us overcharging you. And then if you've bought enough from me, I'm going to give you some of your money back.
Yeah.
We don't get into that. Yeah. It's just too many marketing games to play.
For sure.
We just simply try to give you the highest quality product at the lowest price on the front end, instead of having you buy 10 or 12 different things from me and then me giving you like $5 or $10 off.
Yes.
So that's kind of how the coupon code works. And remember, Hempville CBD, hemp stands for help educate more people. Bill stands for, hey, we all live in the same community. It's the Hempville community. So we should all be looking out after each other. Thank you. And I'll talk to you next week. If you found this podcast helpful, I'd appreciate it if you took a minute to subscribe, rate, review, and follow us at hempvillecbd.com. This increases the reach to more people who are trying to navigate through the changing cannabis market and its products so that we can create a more knowledgeable consumer. Take a screenshot and tag me in your social stories to friends. It means the world to me to know that this podcast has positively helped you and that we get to be a part of your journey. Thank you, and until next time, here's to a better life.